The book of Deuteronomy.
I'm going to skip the review this week. We're going through the whole Bible. Our foundational scriptures come from the end of Luke on the road to Emmaus, where Jesus opened the Old Testament and spoke of himself all the way from Genesis to Malachi. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it tells us the Old Testament is written as examples that we can learn from how to live our lives in victory today. So we've gone through the whole first four books of the Bible, and we're now at the fifth book, which is the book of Deuteronomy. So I'm going to go fast tonight. Normally we go through it a little bit slower. We take time to review, to bring us up. I'll do that next week, but this week I wanted to jump right into the book of Deuteronomy. The name actually means the second law, but in Hebrew it's the words. And that's because the book begins with these words, the words that Moses spake. And so in the Hebrew Bible, the names always reflect the first words of that book. And so this book begins, the words which Moses spake. So they would just call it the words. Deuteronomy is the book that Jesus quoted more than any other book, according to a lot of scholars. Now, some people contend that he quoted the book of Psalms more. That's a debate. But at any rate, we know that Jesus quoted the book of Deuteronomy a whole lot. Remember when he asked what the greatest commandment was? He quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, which the Jewish community repeats regularly. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's right here in the book of Deuteronomy. Remember when he was in the wilderness and he got tempted by the devil? Three times. Three times he quoted the scripture. He says, it is written. Guess what he quoted? Guess which book? Guess which book? Y'all are quick. I told you there were some smart people among us tonight. Here's some other things. For me, it's like a dictionary. Similar to the book of Romans. You know how you can go, and if you're looking for doctrinal things, you can go to the book of Romans and find, it's almost like a topical dictionary. Deuteronomy is like that about the first four books of the Bible. And so it describes sort of the structure of history, and it goes back and reviews it. And one of the things that we're learning as we're going through the Old Testament is that God exists, and that he's involved in history. And there's a certain way that history progresses because God is involved in it. And so with that in mind, I want to look at the book of Deuteronomy and give you a three-part outline that sort of exists how history functions. Okay, and I want to begin by identifying that wasn't just a time filler in the beginning when I mentioned all of the people that are here tonight and the different places that they are, because Christianity is not a one-time event that secures your entrance into heaven. Now, certainly, a relationship with Jesus Christ brings you into the kingdom of God right now, and eventually it will culminate in us going to be with him forever. But it is entering into the journey that God set you on even before you were born. God exists. He's doing something in the earth. And we are being folded into that thing, and it's going to culminate in one final event. And so when you become a Christian, your mind opens up, and now you come into agreement with God, and his work is done in your life, and now you begin to participate in God in what he was already doing. Does that make sense? And so every time, now listen real close, this is why I identified those people. Every time you come to a new event in your life, Deuteronomy will be very helpful. Tomorrow morning you will wake up and that will be a new event. And you can come back to the outline I'm going to give you tonight, and I think it will be helpful to you because it's the way life is. So some of you, you're beginning your academic career at the University of Kentucky. It's a new beginning. I'm going to be preaching to you tonight. Some of you, like my son and daughter-in-law, have had your first children, one of which is named William Tucker. And the other one is Laurel. This is their first time back with us, so it's good to have you all back together as a couple. But there's a lot of other people here that you have your first child. You're beginning a new phase in your life. Moses, at 80 years old, began a new phase in his life. Some of you who are at the point in life that everything has changed, hallelujah! You are at a new phase in life, and this is your opportunity to participate in what God wants to do in the earth through you at this time. You can think about it every day, or you can think about it at every phase in your life. I'm going to go through the outline real quick, and over the next 3 weeks, we're going to come back, and we're going to work through the outline point by point. So the first point in the outline is this. Chapter 1 through near the end of chapter 4, you're going to discover that Moses is getting ready. He gives basically three sermons. And in this first sermon, what he does, he says, kids, let me tell you your history. Let me tell you what's gone on before you came here. And what we're going to do next week is we're going to talk about the significance and the importance of remembering. Okay, remember is a key word in this book. Turn over to chapter 4. Verse 7. So Moses has been preaching. He's been telling them, remember, he's been going through the history of what got them to this place in time. You have a history. You're here tonight. And if you would stop and you would write down everything that's gone on in your life, you would have a history of God's work in your life. And so this is what Moses has given them. And like I said, we'll go into more detail next week. But listen to this, starting in verse 7. What nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Now, verse 9, you're going to see a word. It's the word forget. The word forget and the word remember. There's about 25 times that this idea comes up in the whole book. It's introduced right here. Listen to what it says. Only take heed to thyself and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. No one has a God like you. And you need to stop and see what He has done in your life up until this point. Because your future is coming. And as you enter into your future, whether it's your future at Mars Hill or your future at UK or your future in those old golden years or that future as a father, listen, God has done a lot of things that were intended to get you prepared for this next phase. So don't forget your testimony. And so what we're going to do next week is I want to try to help you meditate on what God has done and who you are today because of what God has done in your life. Would you be willing to do that? If you'd be willing to do that, I'd like to encourage you to read in detail chapter 1 through 4 in the book of Deuteronomy. That's your assignment for next week. And as you come to things that Moses reminds them of, it would do you good to go back because he is going to repeat here in Deuteronomy those things that he did, that God did in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. So remember what God has done. Get testimonies in your life and cling to those testimonies because you are going to face some giants in the future. You are going to come to the place in your life Even though God has done great things and delivered you and brought you further than you've ever been before, there will be times that you will face the possibility of serious doubt. God knew what to tell Moses, to tell the people. You need to write it down. And you need to have that testimony. And you need to come back to what God's done in your life. How many of you have ever had God do something in your life? How many of you have ever had God do something in your life that you wish He hadn't done? I see you people know God. In the moment, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. You ever been brought to that place? But nonetheless, Thy will be done. It's those times in our life when we're brought into a situation that we would rather avoid, but rather than avoiding it, God gives us the grace to die to ourselves and come into a deeper level of communion with Him. How many of you have ever had a time like that? Stand up and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's nice to know you're not alone. It's not wrong to wish you could do something other than God's will. Jesus did it. As long as you're willing to say, all right, if there's not another way, God, let's have it your way. All right, so the second thing, the middle of the book, up to about chapter 26 or 27, I'm going to give you some other words that appear in this section. And see if as I give you these words, see if you can tell me what this section is mostly about. Keep, follow, do, hear. Keep, follow, do, hear. More than anything else, Moses says, you guys have got to remember what God has said. That's why every day, the nation of Israel would say the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then it goes on and declares how you should teach and live the Word of God. Let me tell you, you are at a point in life and you're going to move into the next phase. The most important thing you can do is to hear the Word of God. Not the Bible, not memorize Scripture, but hear the Word of God. I've found it much more difficult to preach since my mom and dad have arrived. Because every time I come to an example like this, I can't look at mom because I know she's going to go, uh-huh, I told you so. But you know, when your parents tell you to take out the garbage at 4 o'clock and it's 9 o'clock at night and they say, did you hear me? They're not asking, did your eardrum vibrate when my vocal cords vibrated and there was a connection of sound? They're saying, did you hear me? In other words, you didn't fully hear me, because fully hearing me is doing it. It's an action. Hearing involves action. Does that make sense? Now, you can ask mom after church. I always took the garbage out when she told me to. Except for once, I set it on fire in the house. And, well, that's a different story. You don't remember? Oh, she doesn't remember that one. Praise the Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. You got to hear the Word. Too many people have an intellectual knowledge of the Word, but when you really hear the Word of God, it demands change and action in your life. You've walked with God, you've come into places, you've met Him, and the Word of God has cultivated you if you've responded to it, and here you are. You're going to move ahead. God wants you to remember the Word, because you're going to come into situations and you're going to do one of two things. You're going to act according to the Word of God that you've heard, or you're going to freak out and run from the giants, and you're going to be shaped negatively. So hear, follow, do. Moses gives this long sermon about hearing and doing the Word of God, especially what God told you on Mount Sinai. Let me tell you something else about this that we'll get to, and we'll talk to it about it in more detail. There's some other words that appear, and this is very surprising. The word love appears 22 times. Most people think about the Old Testament as the law, the list of things you've got to do. It's not. It's a description of God's love for you, and Deuteronomy will tell you that. It's a description of God's call for you to love Him back. And it's a description of how we can walk in love with each other. And over and over and over, as Moses gets ready to go and be with the Lord, he reminds the people, you gotta do the Word of God, because it's about loving God. It's about being loved by God. It's about loving each other. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. See? Heart. That's another word. It appears 47 times. Let me just read a few verses. But if from there you shall seek the Lord your God, you shall find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. That's in verse 29. And it's really interesting. This is after that part that says, don't forget God. Don't forget His Word. He says, but if you do, you will be taken captive. And then He makes this promise. When you've been taken captive, if you will seek Him with all your heart, He will hear and He will deliver you. Now, you Bible scholars, do you know where a prophet hundreds of years later comes and makes that promise? Anybody? Jeremiah what? Jeremiah 29. And where is that promise completed? In Daniel. Now listen, this is so awesome because they have just been delivered. They're getting ready to set out on this whole new adventure of taking the promised land. You're going to learn this lesson sometime in your life. You are going to get the promise of God. And you're going to be so excited about my new wife, my new child, my new job, my new career, my new education, my new friends. And you're going to get so excited that you're really going to be so excited about what you've been given, you forget where it came from. God does not give you all of these things so you will forget Him. And so He makes His promise as He gives the Word. He says, my Word is going to bring you into success. But if you love the success more than you love me, I will allow things to happen in your life to shape you and form you and bring you back to me so that then you will seek me with all of your heart. Because that's what I want. You've got my heart. I want yours. I've created you to be my expression in the earth. And ultimately, He's going to send His Son to show us how to be the expression of the Father. So that's the middle part. If you're a visitor, you don't know how blessed you are. It's a lot, usually a lot longer and a lot more painful than this, but we're almost to the end. So first of all, in the first four, Moses says, look, you got to look back at your life. Let's rehearse what God has done. Now, let me tell you, as we move forward, you better get the Word of God deep down inside of you, and you better hear it, follow it, and do it, because it's not only this next phase, but there's going to be another phase. And how you enter that next phase is going to be directly affected by how you live this one. So hear the Word of God and let it shape you. And remember, what is the Word doing mostly? It's capturing your heart to know who God is. It's capturing your heart to know how God has prepared for you an even greater first day. Amen? And so the last thing 27, 28, 29 is sort of transitional. And then the rest of the book, guess what it does? Let me give you a word. Possess. The word possess appears 71 times in this book. Remember, shape your life by the Word of God because He's got something new for you to possess. What Moses does in this last shorter sermon is he describes to them the future that God has for them. And going back to Jeremiah 29, that's that verse that everybody loves so much. And I'm not going to take the time to put it in context. But it goes on and it says this. I want to capture your heart, and here's why. Because I know the future that I have for you. And it's good. It's good. And I love you too much to let you miss that. And so I will work in your life. And if you take my blessings and you use them to forget me, I will send a situation into your life that will push you back to me. Because more than anything else, I want you to know how much I love you. And I want you to know in your heart a love for me. If this happens, justice, mercy, and the kingdom of God will flow in the earth. Because that's who I am. And that's what I'm wanting to do through you. I want you to bring my kingdom into the earth. And so we're going to worship God. But as they're coming up, let me share this with you. Let me help you make the application. You new parents, you need to look back and you need to see where you failed and where you had successes. And let me give you a way to look at it. Where you failed, you failed. Where you had success, God won out. Does that make sense? As you come to training this child, God was wanting to shape you in patience and fatherhood and motherhood. You look back and you see in your life and you learn the lessons that God gave you to prepare you for this. See, I told you guys this sermon was completely for you. You all need to understand that for the last several years, our seniors have led the school. Not like other schools. I leave. Susan and I leave. Mrs. Vogel and I leave. And you all run the school. And you've got to cultivate the heart of every student to achieve in God what they were called to achieve and not to be stupid teenagers. And you all need to stop and you need to look back and you need to see where God met you over these years. And you need to write it down, good and bad. And listen, I can say this to the whole church. These kids have been awesome. They've got great parents. They've heard God. They have a lot of successes where they've been faithful to God and seen Him bless them. And I have every confidence that you guys learn that lesson and you're going to continue to walk in that. I did not say that you've been perfect, and I know the rest. So, you college students, at the last minute you may have decided UK. Or by the skin of your teeth you got into UK. Or on a fluke you just threw a dart and said UK. Or you applied to UK and you thought you were going to London and you ended up here. God. God is involved in your life. And you have an opportunity to begin this new phase. Looking back and seeing where God had success in your life and where you missed God. I'm going to share with you where some of you made a mistake. You didn't learn the Word of God like you should. If I could give any advice to somebody coming and beginning their career, their academic career, I would say set the Bible beside every textbook. And don't try to be apologetic with the Bible. Learn the Bible, and it will teach you how to love. Decide you're going to take the next 4 years, and you're going to learn the Word of God and let it shape and form your life. New marriages. Everything God tried to teach you and you didn't learn, He's going to use marriage. Let it have its way in you, because you'll have kids. And you're going to need every lesson God's trying to teach you right now as you start that new phase in your life. I'm excited about the next 3 weeks and going through these phases. Each one's awesome. I hate to do it, but I think one of the most exciting things is teaching Deuteronomy chapter 6, and that's in the middle section. You want to do that one, Ben? All right, in 2 weeks, Ben will get the joy of teaching the middle section on hearing and doing and walking in the Word of God and letting it shape you. I'm gonna do the first one in Jessamine tomorrow, so I'll go ahead and cover that next week. But then after that, you can come to that middle part. And then in the end, we are going to talk about what God has for you in His kingdom, the possession that He has for you. And what book comes right after the book of Deuteronomy? It's the book of Joshua. What's that the book of? It's the book of entering in. And so if you look at Deuteronomy, it's the perfect bridge. It says, look back to what God has done. And it looks back to those first four books. In the end, he says, look forward to what God is going to do. And that leads you right back into the book of Joshua. Hallelujah. This is going to be fun. Father, let's stand up. Father, we worship you and honor you. We thank you for what you have done in our life. Lord, for the way that you have shaped and formed us into the image of your Son. And Father, I would pray right now that you would bring to our remembrance where you worked in our life, where you were there, good and bad. You were there. Lord, stir that up and give us a testimony of your faithfulness. God, capture us in these days and make your word our stay. Make your word a lamp unto our feet. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. And Lord, set within us a hope, God, for every student here, high school, college. Lord, set a hope in us about this coming year and what you want to do beyond our education, but in our lives to shape us and form us. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's worship God.